Montana talks here. Live and local. This is Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Well, we're going to talk about this terror attack in Boulder, Colorado, of course, not too far south from us here in Montana. But first, we wrapped up Friday's show with a great sports report. I tell you what, Kelly in Glasgow, he got a nice email from him after the show, and he said, wow, what an hour that was. What a great show all around. If you guys missed it, even those of you that only listen to the show live over the air on the radio, you'll have some fun, especially if you're traveling this week, doing some summer camp trips or whatever. Go back, listen to Friday's show where we had a former ESPN reporter, Janine Edwards, lives in the Red Lodge area. She came in and joined us in studio. It was so cool meeting her. And Caden jumped in on the microphone as well, talking about NIL deals and what that means for college sports. And her husband is a college football coach and former college football player as well. So that was a fun conversation. And then, of course, we had David Allen in the house. He's the head of the Nile Rodeo, but he's also prominently featured in this new documentary about Dale Earnhardt. So that's one of those things I got to sit down and watch here soon as well. Because I remember that from when I was just a kid. But great Friday. All of our audio, all 4 hours of the show is on Spotify. If you listen to podcasts there, or the best way is really download that Montana Talks app, then you'll get all of our online content as well. But since we wrapped up Friday talking about sports, we also had our woke update of the week on Thursday where we were telling you what was going to happen, some of this stupidity out in California. Remember how we told you? They were having the state track and field championships in California over the weekend. And we told you what was going to happen, how absurd it was going to be. California was going to let boys pretending to be girls running and competing against the girls at the track meet. And, of course, the dude wins. And what did California do? They allowed the dude to share the podium with the girl. And what a slap in the face to these young ladies who have worked so hard to hit that podium and then to be told, well, you're going to share the championship with a boy here. Same thing in Oregon. You know, these crazy left-wing states, that's why some of you that are listening to the show right now, you fled California, you fled Washington, you fled Oregon because of the nut jobs that are running those states right now and running away opportunities for your girls in track and so many other things here. Riley Gaines, she had the sports report over the weekend. Logan Garcia, who goes by Veronica, dominated the girls' 400-meter preliminaries at the Washington State Championship meet. And then I think there was an update on that one. And then in Oregon, Riley Gaines also shared this. Two female athletes in Oregon refused to stand on the podium because a boy was awarded a place. She said this, girls have had enough. And those two brave young ladies, wasn't that great? So great to see their courage for standing up for what was right. And then, of course, you see the dudes from the Oregon, schools running the track meet had to usher these brave women away because they didn't want somebody sending a powerful message about civil rights at a sporting event. Yeah, there you go. And then the news out of California, maybe I'll start there right after our first news and weather break here this morning. We've got a Fox News Radio story to tell you about that craziness.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies, along with some scattered showers and storms around the area at times today. High temperatures will stay back at around 60. For tonight, we'll see scattered shower chances early on, followed by some lingering clouds, low temperatures upper 30s to lower 40s. And then on Tuesday, we'll see a mix of clouds and some with a spotty chance for a shower in the afternoon, with highs in the low to mid 60s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Securing America.
During comments this past weekend at a global security conference in Singapore, Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth warned against China's plans for the Indo-Pacific, saying directly that when it comes to the region,
a threat gathers.
Hegseth said the U.S. does not seek military conflict with China, but that through its military buildup,
China has demonstrated that it wants to fundamentally alter the region's status quo.
Which, according to Hegseth, means a potential attempt by the Chinese to reclaim Taiwan as soon as 2027.
The PLA is building the military needed to do it, training for it every day, and rehearsing for the real deal.
Hegseth adding,
the threat China poses is real, and it could be imminent. We hope not, but it certainly could be.
The Chinese have called the secretary's remarks defamatory and representative of a Cold War mentality. Kevin Uretsky, Fox News.
Hey, Clay, if there was a summer camp for critical thinking, we'd be the chief counselors. Those jellyheads in June would be intellectual warriors by August. Be a lot of fun, too. Some Bill and Ted's Excellent Adventure references thrown in.
This podcast, like a daily dose of that, minus the campfires, archery, and pranking the girls.
The bona fide boot camp for critical thinking. You can get in on it for free at the iHeartRadio app or wherever you get your podcasts. Just search our names, Clay and Buck. Listen and subscribe.
Montana Talks, uniting the Treasure State, one conversation at a time. Here's your host, Aaron Flint.
Let's see, Biden auto pen investigation, more bills coming, according to the Speaker of the House. The Boulder, Colorado firebombing, of course, it was more than that. This radical Islamist illegal alien from Egypt literally set a Holocaust survivor on fire, burned a Holocaust survivor alive on American soil. That's what really happened there. We're going to talk more about that story here in just a second. All right, let me see if I can find the write-up here on the transgender athlete controversy in California. All right, all my pages are jammed together here as I'm trying to organize my show prep here real quickly here. Oh, yeah, more smoke is coming. Another random one for you here. Around half of the continental United States is facing severe weather as smoke from Canadian wildfires is making its way south. So I know it's a little cloudy and rainy in parts of the state this morning, but if you start to wonder, hey, it's not raining, those aren't clouds, why is it so hazy out there? Well, you can thank Canada once again. Blame Canada once again, because, you know, not only do they like to send the fentanyl and the illegal aliens south because they don't want to secure their side of the border with their far-left officials running their government right now, but you know, the far left also likes to destroy the environment. The far left also likes to not manage forests. We've seen that here in America, right? Well, Canada's environmentalists have been learning from America's environmentalists, so get ready for the wildfire smoke once again coming from Canada. Yeah, the National Weather Service Office is putting out some news on that front. But yeah, the Trump administration is taking action after a 16-year-old male named A.B. Hernandez was allowed to participate in the girls' track meet and share the podium alongside the female athletes. Christina Coleman with Fox News Radio reports that this happened after a so-called rules compromise for California's high school sports. Let's cue that story up for you. All right. Yeah, here it is. Here's the report. All right. Let's see.
The CIF, the state's high school governing sports body, changed the rules just days before the track meet to allow biological females to receive medals based on where they would have finished if a transgender athlete had not competed. They also allow biological female athletes who fell short or fell shy of qualifying for the championship behind a transgender athlete a chance to compete in the finals this weekend. The last minute rule changes came after President Donald Trump called out this situation on Truth Social as, quote, unfair and totally demeaning to women and girls. The DOJ announced a Title IX investigation into California to see if federal law was violated in this case.
Yeah, all right. So, there you go. The Trump administration, of course, as we told you last week, was going to be watching this closely. And what an embarrassment. How pathetic. California, Oregon, and Washington, the cows, as they've been referred to, the cow states that all these political refugees have been fleeing. And I saw a story from the Daily Wire as well here where they were discussing, well, debating, because that's what happens when any normal person shows up on CNN. You have to debate the so-called journalists. You have to debate the so-called anchors because they're there to take the crazy far-left side every time. And so anyway, a California attorney named Julie Hamel was being interviewed, well, debated by CNN anchor Brianna Keeler. And Brianna Keeler kept referring to this boy as her, you know, she, et cetera. And so finally this California attorney says, what do you mean by her? Who is her? Who is her? This California attorney asked CNN's Brianna Keeler. And then Brianna Keeler starts talking about the boy who is taking away the opportunity from the girl there. But anyway, it's just so funny because CNN has been getting raked over the coals over the Jake Tapper book. You've even got like left-wing comedian Jon Stewart mocking CNN over the Tapper book and Tapper acting like it is somehow breaking news and CNN bending over backwards to promote Jake Tapper's book, where Jake Tapper is so surprised that somehow Joe Biden was completely unfit for duty to serve as president of the United States and the whole orbit around him, including the media that protected him and propped him up so they could get away with Lord knows what against this country over the last 4 years. And here's this same CNN that lied about the Russia hoax. The same CNN that lied about Joe Biden, that was a part of the Hyden-Biden cover-up, one of the biggest presidential scandals in American history. And they still do not get it. They are still doubling down with their straight-up lies on national TV. They call a boy a girl. They call a girl a boy. They said Joe Biden was as strong as he's ever been. He's as fit as he's ever been. And then now these guys, like, are straight up lying to the American people, and they think that they can just continue getting away with it here. Same thing with the Democrats. Tim Walz, Tampon Tim Walz, speaking of the crazy transgender agenda, Tampon Tim Walz, the governor of Minnesota, who put tampons in the bathrooms for third grade boys. Apparently he thinks he can actually be the presidential candidate in 3 years, in 2028. But instead of being tough, Tampon Tim has to talk tough. He has to try to sound tough. So he has to throw a bunch of F-bombs in his speeches so that he can sound tough when he's just a straight-up wimp. Speaking of Biden and speaking of wannabe tough guys and Jake Tapper, apparently Biden went on camera over the weekend and talked about beating the hell out of Jake Tapper. I'll see if we got that for you next.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There's one thing to be said about the status quo in any organization, and that is at one time, at least, everyone agreed with it. Finding a consensus that's at least tolerable to groups of leaders with different views is hard work, as every Montana legislator knows. And so at least starting with the status quo has a certain appeal in efforts to forge something new. But what if that status quo is piloting a Titanic towards an iceberg dead ahead? The federal government budgeting process is a poster child for the status quo. Huge, untouchable entitlements that plow forward, an exploding debt interest payment that must be paid, and a small slice of discretionary spending that has been continuously rolled over through the passage of endless continuing resolutions. And there is an iceberg ahead, a bond market that's already sending out signals that the appetite for forever financing our huge budget deficits may be waning. And so the familiar Washington budget needs a shakeup. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.
I'm Chad Pergram with the Speaker's Lobby. Ready, set, action. Not quite. There's now a trend on Capitol Hill. More and more congressional offices are prohibiting the shooting of video or recording in offices. They range from House Foreign Affairs Committee Chairman Brian Mast to former House Speaker Nancy Pelosi and even backbenchers like Florida Republican Aaron Bean. The Office of House Rules Committee Chairwoman Virginia Fox features a sign which shouts, "No photos or videos allowed inside without prior authorization." Some of the signs began appearing back in 2018. In recent years, political activists have tried to record video of lawmakers in their offices, confronting them and hoping they score something which goes viral. But shooting video in congressional offices scaled back during the pandemic and in the immediate aftermath of the Capitol riot in 2021. Many of the offices posting the cinema non grata warning are clustered together, and the no video signs come as other offices make a point of saying a particular office belongs to the people of a specific congressional district, or that the office is pet friendly. With the Speaker's Lobby, Chad Pergram, Fox News.
Good morning, everybody. It's time for your Daybreak Ag Report. I'm Russell Nimitz, and thanks for being with us here on the Western Ag Network. Well, the United States Court of International Trade has ruled that the law doesn't authorize any of the tariffs imposed by the Trump administration under the International Emergency Economic Act. And Montana Farmers Union President Walter Schweitzer says it's a huge win for farmers and ranchers and even consumers.
It goes back to Civics 101. We learned when we were in grade school that there is a separation of powers and a responsibility of the three different branches of government. And taxes and tariffs and duties, that authority resides in Congress. And so that's what these judges had decided. The 11 attorney generals that filed this complaint requested them to make this decision, and the determination was, yes, that's right, these sweeping tariffs are unconstitutional.
Andy says that the president's tariffs only added to more uncertainty in farm and ranch country.
And there was really no reason to do it. And then the fact that they were on again, off again, and no real rhyme or reason to how these tariffs were implemented in the first place. And I think that's a big reason why it is in our Constitution that Congress needs to make these decisions.
Now, other farm groups and agribusinesses have also expressed concerns that President Trump's tariffs on goods imported into the country would only lead to retaliation against U.S. products. Meanwhile, the Trump administration is weighing its options following last week's ruling. Stay with us. We'll have more ag news right after this.
At Ag West, we know ag financing like you know office hours are all the hours. For over a century, we've supported the people who are the heart of ag and believe you deserve a financial partner who works as hard as you do. You can find us anytime, day or night, at agwestfc.com. Equal opportunity provider and employer. Equal housing lender.
Hi, this is Joe Goggins from Pays and BLS in Billings, Montana. As a livestock auction market owner and member of LMA, I believe it's time for our industry to align and drive meaningful changes that will safeguard a future for ranchers. I'm asking all who are hearing this to sign on to this effort as we work to achieve and maintain ag-friendly tax policy, improve risk management tools, access to labor, flexibility for livestock haulers, and create support for young and emerging livestock producers. Now is the time. Learn more and sign on at thecommongroundsummit.net.
Well, John Deere's Chief Financial Officer Joshua Jepson will have to testify in an ongoing antitrust repair lawsuit filed by farmers as a federal judge ruled the deposition request by the plaintiffs doesn't unduly burden the company. 2 weeks ago, attorneys for Deere asked the U.S. District Court for the District of Northern Illinois for a protective order to prevent Jepson's testimony. And finally this morning, are you ready for this year's American Lamb Summit? Register today for engaging discussions, expert insights, and networking opportunities with fellow lamb producers, ranchers, and industry leaders. The summit is set for July 23rd through the 25th at the University of Idaho in Moscow, and it'll feature presentations on the latest trends, management strategies, and best practices in the lamb industry. Register at lambboard.com. For the Western Ag Network, I'm Russell Nimitz.
Broadcasting live across the big sky, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Oh, man, why does the Biden family even allow Joe Biden to step in front of a microphone anymore? Let me see here. I'm still not organized with my stack of stuff. I got a nice postcard from some listeners in Great Falls, so I thought I better send them a quick thank you. So instead of organizing my show prep, I was sending a thank you and listening to the Farm and Ranch Report there. Let me see if I can find it here. But yeah, Joe Biden, some reporter was asking him a question. Hey, everybody's talking about what a train wreck you are. And of course, Joe Biden, you know, the same guy who said, that Joe Biden, the same guy who, remember how he said he would take Donald Trump out back behind the behind the baseball field of the high school and beat him up? Or was he challenging him to do push-ups or something? And it's like, Joe Biden, Donald Trump runs circles around you, as we all saw during the debate that you two guys had. The knockout punch that completely knocked you out of not only the White House, but knocked you out of the presidential race in 2024 as well. But here's Joe Biden. The DailyWire.com has the story. Yeah. And by the way, the other story that I mentioned was also a Daily Wire story, where that attorney from California just destroyed CNN's Brianna Keeler over constantly calling a dude a girl. But here's another one from the DailyWire.com. Biden says he can beat the hell out of Jake Tapper, and jokes that he is mentally incompetent. Former President Joe Biden told reporters on Friday that he could beat the hell out of both of them, referencing CNN anchor Jake Tapper and journalist Alex Thompson, who co-authored a book detailing Biden's cognitive decline and the corresponding White House cover-up. Let's see. Yeah, apparently, this was a reporter. They were at a public event in Delaware when Biden showed up. Let me see if this audio clip has the part where he talks about beating up Jake Tapper and Alex Thompson. All right, let's see. Here we go.
And there's also been a lot of discussion recently about your mental and physical capabilities while you were in office.
You can see that. I'm mentally incompetent, and I can't walk, and I can beat the hell out of both of them.
Well, do you want to reply to any of those reports, and also to the fact that there are some Democrats who are now questioning whether you should have run for re-election in the first place?
Why didn't they run against me then? Because I would have beaten them.
Do you have any regrets?
No, I don't.
Anyway, there you go. What a crazy old kook. Let's see. Where did I spot this one on X? I just put it in front of me here just a second ago because somebody had to grab that clip. Here we go. It's right in front of me, of course. Yeah, here we go. The Trump War Room said this. Yo, Dana White, who do you think would win? Joe Biden or fake Tapper? You know, maybe the next UFC could be Joe Biden and fake Tapper. Johnny Maga was the one who shared that clip from CNN on X. An angry, bitter man right to the end. Very, very true. What a great summary of Joe Biden. Just an angry, bitter old man. Boulder, Colorado terror attack. Stephen Miller was all over it on Sunday. So, if you go to x.com/AaronFlint, you can see kind of the news as it broke. And as we got more details about this radical Islamic terror attack, and then Stephen Miller's response as well. But first, let's jump into the phone lines here. Great to hear from Tim in Billings, and the number for you, 294-0970. Tim, what's going on? Good to hear from you.
Morning, Eric. So you just asked, you know, why do they even let Joe get in front of a camera? And it's because the media can sit and say, oh, we're digging into this. You know, we're really going to press him on this. And it's something we all already knew about. Instead of digging into who is controlling the auto pen, you know, there's reports coming out that the Biden administration covered up, the effects of that East Palestine train accident. How many other scandals are we not talking about? Because we're talking about what everybody with eyes and anybody with ears could see and hear, that Joe Biden wasn't fit to hold any office, and yet we're still talking about it, and the media is. Now all of a sudden they have a conscience and they're gonna talk about it instead of all these other scandals. So that's why he's being allowed to be on camera. And I bet we'll see him more and more often, actually.
That's actually a really good point. That's a great theory because, yeah, the auto pen in particular, how many pardons were signed off on from an auto pen? You know, Donald Trump pardons one person and they say, well, why did he pardon this person? You know, the grandma gave a campaign contribution. Is that why Donald Trump pardoned this guy, right? Well, we don't know who pardoned, who actually did all the pardons under Joe Biden, because it was all done with the auto pen. Who were the staffers operating the auto pen? Were they bribed?
Who are they? You know, did they get a nice job awaiting waiting for them once Joe Biden was booted from the White House because they gave some pardons to people? Right. We have no idea whatsoever who they got potentially bribed by in order to pardon.
And that's just one needle in a stack of needles of scandals from this administration. I mean, there's the Department of Energy that gave out, what was it, $83 billion in the last 76 days? For the last $83 billion in 76 days. They were just, they had a guy, Project Veritas or O'Keefe Media Group, I can't remember which one, had an undercover video of a guy saying they were throwing gold bars over the side of a ship with the analogy he had. That's just another one. How many other scandals are not being talked about because we're still talking about, you know, mashed potato for brains. Who cares about that guy?
Yeah.
Who cares? You know, other than the fact that he wasn't in control and we need to find out who was, that should be the story.
Although I think like when you say, when we talk about, you know, Mr. Mashed Potato Head, as you referred to him here, you know, when we talk about that, that's a reminder of all the corruption and all this wasteful spending. And why more of that needs to be clawed back, because, you know, this one of the biggest scandals in presidential history is exactly why we've got one of the biggest scandals in just our government, period, that underlies this waste, fraud, and abuse and spending, too.
Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
All right, yeah, we've got the phone lines open for you, 406-294-0970. Earlier, I mentioned how massive wildfires in Canada are sending smoke down into the U.S. Apparently, it's really bad in North Dakota. It's really bad in Minnesota as well, but it's producing air quality alerts from Montana to Michigan. Lesser amounts of smoke are making their way completely across the midsection of the U.S., meteorologist Peter Mullinax of the National Weather Service says that the current upper level wind system is going to push smoke all the way towards the skies of Europe. Let me see. I think I got the soundbite right here, thanks to our friends at Fox News Radio.
It's actually able to transport smoke in parts of northwestern Canada and not only take it across North America, but across an entire ocean to the other side of the world. Just an impressive stream of smoke that's coming out of northern Canada over the next few days.
All right. Yeah, so if you, like I say, it's a little cloudy, a little rainy in parts of the state right now. Man, I tell you what, though, after being in Glasgow over the weekend, flew a quick flight up to on Cape Air up to Glasgow for a beautiful wedding this weekend. But, man, I tell you what, it is so dry across eastern Montana. I hope they're getting some of the clouds and some of the moisture that I'm seeing right now, especially after the winter, because it seemed like south central and southwestern Montana, you know, really sucked up a lot of that moisture. But man, I'll tell you what, eastern Montana could really use it, especially northeastern Montana right now. And I heard the same thing after our discussion last week with the Bureau of Reclamation as we were getting an update on the St. Mary's Irrigation Project. Okay, now we got to get to this story about this radical Islamic terror attack in Boulder, Colorado. Let me see. I've got a couple of stories just to kind of tee this up for you with some of the latest information. Madeline Rivera covering the story for Fox News Radio. 8 pro-Israel demonstrators were hurt after a suspect allegedly firebombed a gathering in Boulder, Colorado. The group was calling for the release of all remaining hostages from Gaza. And like I say, Madeline Rivera has the story, not just on the attack, but also on this radical Islamic terror suspect who is an illegal alien.
The FBI says this began as a peaceful event on Sunday. Police say 45-year-old Mohammed Sabri Soliman from El Paso set people on fire with that makeshift flamethrower. Video shows the smoke and people screaming. Authorities say 8 people were hurt, 4 women and 4 men between the ages of 52 and 88. DHS and ICE sources tell our Bill Malugin Soleiman entered the U.S. in August 2022 with a non-immigrant visa. He was authorized to stay until February 2023, but he never left. On March 2023, he was given a work authorization visa under the Biden administration that was valid until just this past March.
Yeah, Stephen Miller laid it out. Stephen Miller is, of course, Deputy White House Chief of Staff. He's been with President Trump since day one. About 11, 12 hours ago, he posted on X, a terror attack was committed in Boulder, Colorado by an illegal alien. He was granted a tourist visa by the Biden administration, and then he illegally overstayed that visa. In response, the Biden administration gave him a work permit. Stephen Miller says suicidal migration must be fully reversed. In fact, I just got a response I saw on one of my posts on X here. Let's see. Yeah, I shared the latest from FoxNews.com. Suspect in Boulder terror attack determined to be Egyptian man in the U.S. illegally. That's according to the FBI. And somebody that goes by the name Beta Graph on X, not sure where they're from, but their response was this: why they all must go back. This is why all these illegal aliens must go back. Here's an even better summary from Stephen Miller. The Biden administration granted the alien a visa, and then when he illegally overstayed, they gave him a work permit. Immigration security is national security. No more hostile migration. Keep them out and send them back. I think this is also exactly why earlier this morning I heard a great guest on Fox and Friends talking about this attack on these pro-Israel supporters, many of them, if not all of them, who were Jewish, that were targeted by this Islamic terrorist radical down in Boulder, Colorado, who was allowed into this country and allowed to stay in this country by the Joe Biden, John Tester regime. And she made a great point. She says, look, we don't need any more tweets from guys like Chuck Schumer, the Democrat Senate Minority Leader. He needs to stand with President Donald J. Trump. He needs to stand with Israel and our friends there. And just these simple statements, these simple tweets, it doesn't cut it. Nonetheless, of course, you are getting statements and some tweets from some elected officials, of course, speaking out to condemn this attack. But I agree with that guest who was on Fox and Friends earlier this morning. I apologize. I didn't catch her name, but I think she was exactly right. We need more than just tweets.
Colorado Governor Jared Polis says hate is unacceptable in our Colorado for all, and I condemned this act of terror. House Speaker Mike Johnson posted on X, terrorist sympathizers have made it clear they will do anything to try and silence the Jewish people and those who support Israel. We cannot and will not let them win. Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer weighed in too, adding, anti-Semitism, plain and simple, has no place in America. I am praying for the victims' recovery and am in touch with the FBI as we closely monitor the situation. And Israeli Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu says this, the anti-Semitic attacks around the world are a direct result of blood libels against the Jewish state and people, and this must be stopped.
Yeah, the guest that was on Fox and Friends earlier this morning, she made the point that apparently one of the victims is a Holocaust survivor. This guy literally had a makeshift flamethrower, is how they describe it, or some people described it as in the initial reports as Molotov cocktails being thrown on these peaceful protesters. And one of the victims, she said, is a Holocaust survivor. And she put it so well. She said, what we have happening right now, as a result of this anti-Semitism that is, what do you think they meant when they do their from the river to the sea chants, even on campuses in Montana? What do you think they mean by globalizing the Intifada? This is exactly what they mean when they talk about globalizing the Intifada. This terrorism on American soil is being encouraged. This man, this terrorist, this radical Islamic terrorist lit a Holocaust on fire, burned a Holocaust survivor alive on American soil. This is how sick and depraved and twisted these radical Islamic terrorists are. And And again, what did they think that they were was going to happen when they call for intifada on American soil at these college campuses, Harvard and elsewhere? And then they get encouraged by the Democrats. They get encouraged by the media. And they get dismissed when they do their little chants. This is what Nick Sartor, he was one of the first commentators I saw on X sharing the news as it was happening. The suspect identified as Mohammed Soleiman in the Boulder terror attack. He was shouting pro-Palestine propaganda with a thick accent. Nick added this, "This is why we need mass deportations. These people should not be here. They should not be here." Let's see. And then kind of in a related story that also took place over the weekend, Bill Malusian did a lot of the reporting from ICE and from the FBI when it comes to this Boulder terrorist attack suspect in particular. But Bill Malusian, meanwhile, let's take you to San Diego, California. Bill Malusian was reporting how a San Diego Democrat city council member was calling ICE. You know, the brave men and women that work in immigration and customs enforcement, he was calling them terrorists in an Instagram post alleging that they are committing state-sponsored terrorism. And he was complaining that these brave men and women in federal law enforcement sometimes, in order to protect them and their families, cover their faces while they're out there detaining these hardcore criminal illegal aliens on American soil. And again, we take you back to Stephen Miller, who has been spot on with this. He's been with President Trump since day one. He says, "We are living in the age of left-wing domestic terrorism. They are openly encouraging violence against law enforcement to aid and abet the invasion of America." And by the way, I'm just now checking our Montana Talks app messages. John in Bozeman says this, "Can't wait to see all the left-wing, whacked-out judges who will be coming to the rescue in Boulder, Colorado for the illegal terrorist." Yeah, well said there by John in Bozeman. Okay, we've got a legislative update from Jeff Laszloffy with the Montana Family Foundation. We normally run it on Fridays, but we've got it for you today. We missed it Friday, so we've got it for you today coming up right after this.
Turn up your radio. Here's the Sean Hannity Morning Minute.
Where do we get the big, beautiful bill, energy dominance going, the tax cuts in place, the $10 trillion in committed monies to be spent, manufacturing beginning in this country? Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent telling Fox News that he has sympathy for some members of the Senate who want more spending cuts, but the issue can't be solved in a year. They're doing their very best, but they're also working under the difficulty of reconciliation, which is hard. But it is, I would argue, the most conservative bill I've seen in my life. Not perfect, and I think they got to get to work right away and take their pen and start slashing as much as possible and move this country towards a balanced budget and stop robbing from our kids and save, you know, Social Security and Medicaid and also build the next generation of weaponry. It'll take a lot of money.
Check out the Sean Hannity Radio Show later today, right here.
Warning, the national debt is spiraling out of control. Trade wars are causing record volatility, and tariffs could cause inflation to make a devastating comeback. Are you ready for what more 2025 could bring? Will you sit on the sidelines and wait? Or will you take action today to help protect your hard-earned retirement savings? And what if you could do it tax and penalty free? Find out more by requesting your free 2025 gold and silver kit from the top-rated precious metals company, Goldco. Plus, you could get an unlimited bonus silver if you qualify. Help secure your future today. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to learn more. That's HannityGold.com or 855-815-GOLD. Visit HannityGold.com or call 855-815-GOLD to learn more. That's HannityGold.com or 855-815-GOLD.
Here's a look at your Montana weather for Billings and Bozeman. With cloudy skies, along with some scattered showers and storms around the area at times today. High temperatures will stay back at around 60. For tonight, we'll see scattered shower chances early on, followed by some lingering clouds. Low temperatures upper 30s to lower 40s. And then on Tuesday, we'll see a mix of clouds and some with a spotty chance for a shower in the afternoon, with highs in the low to mid 60s. That's a look at your Montana weather on Montana Talks. I'm weatherology meteorologist Paul Frombly.
Man, if you guys missed it, we had General Michael Flynn join us for a good chunk of time during Thursday's Montana Talks. He joined us in the 8 o'clock hour while he is on the ground in Bozeman, Montana. You got to check it out. Full conversation with General Michael Flynn, MontanaTalks.com. Download the Montana Talks app. Or if you listen to podcast services like Spotify, you can find that and much more there as well. Yeah, General Michael Flynn. What else? David Noble with a woke update and much more.
From Mundakistan to the Flathead, Montana Talks with Aaron Flint.
Time now for a legislative update brought to you by the Montana Family Foundation. Here's President of the Montana Family Foundation and former Speaker Pro Tem of the Montana House of Representatives, Jeff Laszlocki.
An article this week by Seaborn Larson describes an effort by a group calling itself Montanans for Fair and Impartial Judges to place an initiative before voters that would prohibit future attempts by legislators to introduce elections by political party into Montana's judicial election process. This is a response to a failed attempt in the recent legislative session to force judicial candidates, at least at the Supreme Court level, to register by political party. The bill was part of a broader effort to reform the judiciary that included roughly 28 individual bills. The effort was born out of the frustration felt by conservatives that liberal activist judges are hiding behind the veil of nonpartisan judicial impartiality to act as a backstop for the Democrat Party. Conservatives argue that judicial impartiality, especially at the Montana Supreme Court, is an illusion that sounds good in theory but bears no resemblance to reality. With huge Republican majorities in both houses and a total sweep by Republicans in every other statewide and congressional race, the courts are the last set of cards available to be played by liberals, and they're using it effectively. Republicans argue that the courts are stacked with liberals because voters have no idea who they're voting for. They argue that the easiest and cleanest way to help voters cast informed votes is to have judicial candidates declare a party affiliation, at least at the Supreme Court level. We may still have a majority of liberal judges in places like Helena and Missoula, but at least the Supreme Court would reflect the demographics of the state as a whole. Currently, about half the states in the U.S. elect their judges, and the other half appoints their judges, similar to the way that judges are appointed at the federal level. Of those states that elect their judges, roughly two-thirds use nonpartisan elections, and the remaining third run with a party affiliation. One of the great frustrations for our government affairs team coming out of this year's legislative session was the lack of judicial reform. We work incredibly hard to pass solid conservative social legislation that's supported by the vast majority of Montanans, only to have it nullified by liberal judges with a political agenda. A quick look at the votes shows that the effort to reform Montana's judiciary failed in large part because of a small number of liberal Republicans joined by every single Democrat in the House and Senate to kill those bills. This despite the fact that Governor Gianforte strongly endorsed judicial reform in his State of the Union address. And as further evidence that liberals are circling the wagons around the courts, we have simply to look at those sponsoring the ballot initiative. The treasurer of Montanans for Fair and Impartial Judges is none other than Ted Dick, the former executive director of the Montana Democratic Party. The big takeaway in all of this is the fact that nothing will change unless voters are given enough information to cast informed votes. In fact, the U.S. Supreme Court, in the case of Minnesota v. White, said those voting for judicial candidates have not just the right, but also the responsibility to cast an informed vote. 2 weeks ago, a federal judge in Texas struck down a Biden administration executive order that allowed men into women's restrooms and locker rooms. The same issue is likely headed to the Montana Supreme Court, where we expect a very different outcome. Unfortunately, nothing will change until the illusion of judicial impartiality is dispelled by serious judicial reform. For the Montana Family Foundation, this is Jeff Laszlocki reminding you that this government is your government, and your input does make a difference.
Contact the Montana Family Foundation at 406-628-1141 or on the web at montanafamily.org.
All right. That was a great update. Thanks to Jeff Laslaffy for sending. And, yeah, even though we missed it on Friday, that's a great one to have here on this Monday to talk about. Yeah, I mean, I mentioned that news story briefly last week. Basically, here you have a Democrat dark money group raising money, trying to get a ballot initiative going so they can preserve basically the radical left-wing mob control of the Montana Supreme Court. I mean, that's what these people claim. We want nonpartisan elections. You've got a partisan Supreme Court right now. That's why they want to stifle free speech to prevent candidates from running under a party affiliation or something to that effect so that they can just control the whole process with their out-of-state Democrat dark money, basically.
This is the Montana Economic Minute.
There's one thing to be said about the status quo in any organization, and that is at one time, at least, everyone agreed with it. Finding a consensus that's at least tolerable to groups of leaders with different views is hard work, as every Montana legislator knows. And so at least starting with the status quo has a certain appeal in efforts to forge something new. But what if that status quo is piloting a Titanic towards an iceberg dead ahead? The federal government budgeting process is a poster child for the status quo. Huge, untouchable entitlements that plow forward, an exploding debt interest payment that must be paid, and a small slice of discretionary spending that has been continuously rolled over through the passage of endless continuing resolutions. And there is an iceberg ahead, a bond market that's already sending out signals that the appetite for forever financing our huge budget deficits may be waning. And so the familiar Washington budget needs a shakeup. I'm Patrick Barkey.
Brought to you by the University of Montana Bureau of Business and Economic Research.